Hey guys.
Wow. Turn. This is really loud. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance so y'all could stand up. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Well, amen. Well, happy Memorial Day. This is a great holiday. We get to celebrate and remember those that have given their lives for us. Sometimes there's some confusion, I think, between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. While it's always a good day to recognize veterans that have served, Memorial Day is where we remember those who have lost their life in defense of our freedom. So it's important that today we remember them and remember them well and remember the families that have lost people in that pursuit. So Memorial Day is a celebration, but it's also a somber affair. It's somewhere where we remember that freedom wasn't free. We didn't get to be here because somebody gave it to us. Somebody earned it. And those American soldiers that earned it deserve our appreciation and our celebration of them today. Just to go over a couple quick announcements of some things coming up next week, right after service, there'll be a VBS meeting. So if you are going to be involved with VBS, please plan to attend that. It'll be a short meeting. It's not going to take very long. It'll be just down here right after service next week. If you have not signed up to serve in an area of VBS, there's a table right outside in the foyer here where we still need volunteers for multiple different positions. As far as that goes, also, if you want to volunteer to bring cookies or snacks or something like that, there's a sign-up table for that as well. If you can't be here that week, but you want to be able to contribute in some way, that's a great way to be able to do it. And you can see Tiff Witt, and she can kind of point you in that direction, too, as what all would be needed. She's kind of in charge of the kitchen during our VBS. So if you don't know her, I'll introduce you to her afterwards if you'll find me. I'll make sure and point her out to you, but if you don't know her and you meet her one time, you'll never forget her. She's very memorable, but she's awesome. She does a good job, and she's a very, very proficient in what she does and very motivated. She's one of those zealous leaders that you want in every position, and she's always willing to serve in lots of places, but if you have not signed up, like I said, VBS is an amazing time. We get to be a part of some really great kids' lives, and not just that, but we get to witness a lot of different people kind of come into the knowledge that God might have called them to something during that week, because some people that thought, oh, that's not me, they come into VBS, and then they're here every year after that, because it's a blessing. It's something great to be a part of, so I would encourage you to do so. There's a sign up out there still in the foyer for the family golf tournament, which is on June 14th. So if you haven't signed up yet, it's on the table over by the restrooms, and you can sign up over there. If you have a graduating senior, you can still send your information to Mark for next week. But his email address is in the bulletin, and he'll need some pictures and where they're graduating from and like where they intend to go to school or if they're graduating college, where maybe they're intending to go to work. But you can give that information to him, and then we can celebrate our graduates next year. We don't have a lot of graduates this year. Our demographic has shifted, and all of a sudden we've got a whole lot younger people, which is really good too. But that means if you know of graduates, make sure you're letting us know, because it's not just our youth that we're celebrating that aspect. If lots of young people that are graduating college too, or trade school or anything else. So make sure you let Mark know, and we can celebrate and recognize them next week. This little piece of paper, I hope you guys will get real familiar with over the next 3 weeks or so. This little piece of paper is laying up on the Welcome Center. It's a piece of paper that says, "My question for the pastor is," and what this is designed to do is that between now and Father's Day, you guys would fill these out and put them in there, and we'll take the top five requests that we have in the sermon series from starting June 21st through July 23rd. Will be based off of your questions. There'll be things that you've always wondered about or always wanted to ask about, and we'll delve deeper into them during the sermon series. Somebody told me earlier today that I was extremely brave when I start asking what my question for the pastor is. But I really feel like it's something that God's leading us to. Plus, Mark is doing the 30th of June. He'll be speaking the 30th of June. So the hardest questions I'm going to save for the 30th of June. But other than that, please do stop by the Welcome Center and fill one of these out. There's a little red bucket right there you can drop it in. And you can even take one home with you and just think about what you would like to put on it. And then we'll get to your questions beginning June 21st. Like I said, you can do that all the way up until Father's Day. We'll be collecting them as we go so that we can begin to build the first week's message ahead of time. But I would encourage you to do that. Tonight, we have a dinner. You'll see a form very similar to that, but the question on the top of it is what would you like to see us do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? What would you feel more like getting involved in? But we're having a dinner tonight at 6:30. Come, eat, share your thoughts, ideas. I'm going to share some of mine, and we'll discuss it a little bit back and forth. This will be the first of two meetings. We'll have a meeting tonight and discuss some of those ideas, get some of your ideas. And we'll have another one in July, and then that one in July, we'll talk about what we need to do to implement those things starting out in the fall of next year, or this year. So it'd be around Labor Day that would be the launch date. We're not talking about something tonight that we're going to change next week. We're talking about something that we're going to change before we get to our fall season and kick everything back off. Okay, so come and eat dinner 6:30 tonight. I'm sure when you came in, you smelled the smoker going and all that kind of stuff. We kind of thought maybe we'd do like Stork's Bakery used to do. They pumped that smell out. Everybody got hungry when they drove by there. So if you're hungry, come back at 6:30 and eat with us and share some ideas about where we need to go and what we need to do to be able to get a little greater involvement in our weekday activities, not just our Sunday morning activities. Okay. Last but not least, if you're a visitor with us, you've heard a whole lot of information. You're probably thinking, what do I need to know that for? But if you are a visitor, there's a card like this in the pew back in front of you. I'd love it if you'd take a moment, fill one of those out, and then turn it in at the Welcome Center, and we have a gift for you for having come and visited with us this morning. So be sure and do that. If you would, please stand with me. We're going to do our read and respond, and then we'll get started with our worship this morning. What sort of Redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? One who is truly human and also truly God. Isaiah 9:6 tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Let's pray, and then we'll welcome each other here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the sacrifices that make it possible for us to worship freely in this country. And I thank you, Lord, for those men that you used to accomplish that task. But Lord, today I thank you for the greatest sacrifice that's ever been given for my life or anyone else's, your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we remember all that have sacrificed, but none higher than he. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's shake hands and welcome somebody here today.
Brenda over here start us out, and then we will go right into it, all right?
Please cross your
guys can be seated.
As you see, Mark Welsh is not here today, and I'll be taking his place for this week. My phone number is 304-483-0585. You can also call the church office, and they can get a hold of me or Mark, either one. So, if there's anything you need or prayer or anything, just get in contact with me. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for being able to worship in your house, Lord. We just ask that you bless the veterans that has passed and allows us to have this freedom that we enjoy today. Lord, we just ask you to be with the servicemen as they protect us now. And Lord, I just ask you bless this offering that we're about to take up, that it goes to further your kingdom, and that the joyful hearts that give it will see the blessings from the tithe that we're about to receive. We just ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes and to pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again. They chose to reject the fashionable skepticism of their time. They chose to believe and answer the call of duty. They stood for something. And we owe them something. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We must realize that no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. With God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. At the grave of a hero, we end not with sorrow at the inevitable loss, but with the contagion of his courage, and with a kind of desperate joy, we go back to the fight.
We come to a time, a day where we set aside to remember. Tomorrow is actually Memorial Day. We just today in our services are celebrating that as well. But I mentioned earlier that it is a day that we honor those that have lost their lives to protect and earn our freedom, that have given us the ability, unlike lots of places in the world where we can freely gather today to worship, to lift up praise and honor to God without fear of reprisal or some government entity coming in and arresting all of us. It's something that we oftentimes underappreciate. And what I mean by underappreciate is because sometimes we talk about like Memorial Day and what it means to us, but it doesn't impact us a lot in our day-to-day life. It's not something we think about lots of times, but when we're truly grateful for something, when we truly remember it the way we're supposed to, it should produce some action in us. It should cause some type of reaction in us. I've told you before, but I'm a big NASCAR fan. I like NASCAR. And every now and again when they run a road course, they put something in called a chicane. And a chicane is basically just an obstacle that just suddenly, poof, comes out of the track, and you have to go around it. And the intention of that chicane is to slow you down and to make you pay a little more attention as you go around that. Well, really, when we celebrate a federal holiday like a Memorial Day or 4th of July or Labor Day or Veterans Day, those are chicanes in our day-to-day life where we're supposed to slow down and think about what it is that those things mean and have to concentrate a little bit more. But they should produce something in us. That's why I titled the message, "We Must Not Do Nothing." Which just basically means we must do something. But unfortunately, all too often, today, a day of memorial or any given Sunday comes along, we talk about the sacrifices that have been made for us, we preach about them, we sing about them, and then our day goes on like nothing ever happened. And today, when we celebrate Memorial Day, I pray that we come out of it with something different, some idea different than that. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get into our lesson. We are celebrating communion at the end, which is remembrance of Christ and what he's done for us. And during that time, we'll have a little time of invitation in between where there'll be an opportunity. If you have children that you want to participate in communion, you can go back and get them and bring them back forward. So that we can celebrate together. But I hope that today's remembrance will create some attitude of action in us, that we'll actually respond in some way as a result of it. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning, the blessing that we have to gather and worship. I thank you for the American soldier that has fought so hard for our freedom and so many lives have been lost as a result of it. Lord, I thank you today because of all the sacrifices that we have. The one that buys us something more than the material world we live in is the eternal world won by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we remember either of those sacrifices, they are not something that produces nothing in us. Help us, Lord, to soften our calloused hearts that so often respond coldly to the sacrifice that's been paid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remembrance produces gratitude. Gratitude produces action. Now, this is a statement that sometimes doesn't always go together, but it should. When we remember the sacrifices that have been paid for us, we should experience gratitude. We're grateful that those things happen. We live in a country today that oftentimes kind of rewrites history to a degree, and as a result, we're not as grateful as we should be. If you really want to know what our American soldiers have saved us from, you should go back and read history a little bit and understand the oppression that came when we became a free country and what it came when we won World War I and World War II. What we escaped, what the future of our country might have been had we not done those things. War is never pretty. It's never something I would love to see happen, but at the same time, sometimes it becomes necessary. And when it does, I thank the Lord that he moves men and women into the position of serving our country. It's something that we remember, or I remember, very gratefully. This weekend, Americans will commemorate Memorial Day. It's a holiday, a national holiday of remembrance. We'll gather in cemeteries and civic parks for grateful and sometimes tearful ceremonies. This will be a good and appropriate kind of remembering, but it's important that we remember the immense price paid by hundreds and thousands of men and women for us to be able to be here today. One of the things that always, I guess, bothered me or perplexed me around Easter time was around Easter was the first time that I ever saw the movie The Passion. And I remember at the time thinking it was horrible. It was good, but it was horrible. It was a very good depiction, helped me to see what it was that Christ went through, but at the same time, it was horrible to witness and to feel that that kind of behavior could come from people. But then I have to remember that prior to 2004, I was one of those people that would have been just as ugly towards Christ as many of them in the movie were. But I remember thinking, how must God feel that he's giving his son for us and we respond that way? But just imagine for me for just a minute the hundreds of thousands of men and women that have died for a free country and the way our country is behaving today. Or does it honor those sacrifices? Or does it dishonor those sacrifices? Remembrance produces gratitude. When we fail to remember, we fail to be grateful. That's the reason why in the Old Testament, over and over again, he says, teach these things to your children. Because it's important that you remember what it is that God has done for you. Just like in our country, it's important to remember what it is that American lives have given for us. It's always important to remember sacrifice. This kind of remembering, sometimes the way we practice it doesn't really demand anything of us. It doesn't require us to do anything today other than to walk in and remember that today is Memorial Day and then to remember what it's for. I was telling Carmen this morning, it's amazing how many people really are confused about the different holidays. Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is not the 4th of July. The 4th of July is not Labor Day. It's important that we remember those things, because they tell a lot about what has happened in our country and how we got to be where we are. Memorial Day was originally termed Decorating Day right after the Civil War, and it was because that was the day set aside by the Union Army commander, I don't remember his name now, but to go out and decorate the graves of loved ones that were lost. It wasn't until 1971 that it became a federal holiday. Told Carmen it was the same year she was born. I know, age thing. I'm supposed to stay away from that. But the point is that it's a holiday set aside for remembering lives that were lost. The 4th of July, we remember the day that we as people set aside a time and wrote a document declaring our independence from an oppressive regime, the British government, where we pledged our life, our liberty, and all of our property in defense of it. The people that signed the Declaration of Independence basically, unlike sometimes the way we think about it today, we kind of talk about it in hyperbole, but then what they wrote on that paper, they knew full well and good that if they lost the Revolutionary War, they would lose their lives, their property, everything they owned. They pledged everything. Labor Day, we set aside to celebrate the labor, the work of the American people, who ingenuity and innovation continues to advance, not just our country, but countries all around the world. That's what Labor Day is for. And Veterans Day is the day that we recognize all of those that currently serve or have served in any armed forces of our country. It's important that we remember what those dates are actually for, and then that we remember them accurately and that they produce something in our life. And Memorial Day for us as Christians carries the extra import of understanding the sacrifice that was paid by Christ for us. Remembrance needs to be something, needs to produce something in us. The American soldier does not just sacrifice for our lives today. He doesn't just secure today's life with his sacrifice. He secures all of today's dreams and tomorrow's aspirations. You understand that without the sacrifices that were paid during World War I, World War II, even the Civil War, the things you do today, you would not be doing. The dreams you have today would be harder to fulfill. The aspirations for what we want the world or our country to be like tomorrow would be harder to fulfill as well. He secures all of today's dreams and tomorrow's aspirations. He deserves a tremendous amount of credit because they fought and died for the freedom that we have. However, our Savior Jesus Christ secured so much more than that. He didn't just secure today's dreams and tomorrow's aspirations. He secured our eternity. Far beyond just today and tomorrow, both sacrifices need to produce something in us. We owe it to those who have sacrificed to not do nothing. To not just allow it to be a blip in the radar and move on from what we are doing or who we are. We need to teach our kids what it means to be free and how much it costs. But we tend to go around this day and age with a very entitled attitude. Like no one can take this from us because we have a right to it. But the moment we refuse to fight for that, we can lose the right for that. That's why I love the phrase in the piece you heard when I got ready to get up here. It's part of the reason why I played it. The video part didn't play, but the audio did. And where he said, "We will always fight for peace. We will never surrender for it." Because that's what happens when we forget to teach our kids what it means to be free and how much it costs. We'll believe that surrendering our ideals, surrendering our beliefs, compromising on things that are absolutes, those things will lead to peace. They will not lead to peace. They will lead to dominion. Someone will have dominion over you. Not God. Something else. Something else that waits for us to compromise our beliefs. When we give away those beliefs that were so hardly fought for, both by American soldiers and by Jesus Christ, we dishonor both deaths. And we say that those things they fought for us, those things they accomplished for us, weren't worth defending today. We minimize what they do. When it comes to Christ and his sacrifice, we must not do nothing. It applies to both, but when it comes to Christ and his sacrifice, we must not do nothing. Too often we don't allow it to produce a single thing in us. And we struggle to wonder why we don't feel close to God, or why we're not near him, or why we don't see him in our everyday lives. But the bottom line is that too often his sacrifice, much like the sacrifice of people we can physically see, we walk right past, and it didn't produce a single thing in us. It didn't make a single change. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. While we were still subject to the wrath of God, Christ died for us. He sacrificed himself for us. It's a phenomenal aspect of the sacrifice of Christ. It's not as if He found some people that were striving towards God and died for them. He came into a world hurtled headlong away from God, became a chicane in our race to hell, and died for us, giving us a chance to turn and look at something else. It always amazes me that God tells us over and over in Scripture that we were given over to the desires of our heart. And we make much of free will and the will of man. You realize that 99.9% of the time that free will is described in the Bible, it's our decision to go away from God, never our decision to come towards Him. We have to have interruptions in that pattern. And Christ became that interruption to say, look, your life is headed in a wrong direction. Something had to interrupt that path, and Christ interrupted it, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've said before in here that if you make it to hell, you have to run right over top of Christ to do so. And oftentimes, we're caught looking at the sacrifice of Christ and doing nothing, allowing it to make no change. John 13:34 says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. We've talked about this before, but the world outside of here, outside of Christianity, struggles to offer sympathy and empathy, and they sometimes even love. And sometimes I feel like maybe one of our problems as a church and as a community of believers, not just Fairlawn, but I mean the church in general, is that we love one another. But we love one another like you love your workers that you work with day to day. Or we love one another like the people that you go to the gym with, or the people that you fellowship with, or the people you go to Bible study with. But the problem is that the love we have for one another as Christians is supposed to be so immensely better than that, that it tells us, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's such a different love that people outside of the body of Christ would look at us and say, what in the world makes you love people that way? And when was the last time that someone asked you that? When was the last time you felt like your life really said that? Did his sacrifice produce nothing in you? Remember, Paul tells us, if you have everything, if you exhibit all of the gifts of the Spirit, but you have not love, you are nothing but a noisy cymbal or a clanging gong. Does God's love, does Christ's sacrifice produce in us the type of love that brings people to at least curiosity of what it is that's causing this in your life? Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. This remembrance that it talks about in Hebrews 13:3 is a demanding type of remembering. What it means is go and help them. And the original Greek conveys the sense that you keep helping them. It means that it's not just a single act, it's a continuous act. It's something good to remember on Memorial Day. Memorial Day is not set aside to be a single day of remembrance. It's supposed to bring you back to a point of remembrance so that you move forward in greater gratitude for what has been paid for you. We are to react to our brothers and sisters' afflictions just like our entire body reacts to the pain when one member of our body is afflicted. That's what he means when he says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and remember those who are mistreated since you are also in the body. And his whole point is that when something hurts someone in the body, it hurts all of us. It's one of the reasons why in Scripture it tells us that if someone brings a divisive spirit into the church, reprimand them once, then twice, then have nothing else to do with them. Because it does damage to the body. And when one part of the body is hurt, all parts of the body are hurt. Christ died for this body, these people. He died for you individually, but he died for us collectively. It means that I don't just owe Christ a debt of gratitude. It means that I'm supposed to outdo you in showing honor and respect because I represent Christ to you and you represent Christ to me. We are the part of one body. And it should produce that. We must act. Hebrews, the remembering in Hebrews 13:3 is an imperative. Involvement at some level is not optional. When he says remember, he means active remembrance, volitional remembrance, something that produces an action, not simply is the like wistful remembering that we oftentimes do. It's the difference between, as the older I get, I fall victim to this too, but older people, we talk to older people when I was younger, I can remember saying, back in my day, that's a wistful remembrance. A volitional remembrance means once you remember that, you get up and change your current environment. That's what it means. So this is not simply just looking back at the sacrifice or looking at what it is that other Christians are doing at the time. They're in prison. They're being mistreated. And he's saying, do something about it. Go help them. Keep helping them. Do something. Let it produce something in you. We must not do nothing. And we tend to look back at that and we think to ourselves, you know, we honor our veterans in this country. We try very hard to remember their sacrifices and what they do. In churches, when we celebrate communion, we try very hard to remember the sacrifice of Christ. But we have to remember that every single day there are Christians being mistreated and killed and thrown in prison to further the gospel, and we can't even talk to our waiter or waitress at lunch after church. Make it produce something in you. You must not do nothing. Remember, I would rather you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you from my mouth. Because we disregard the sacrifice when we are lukewarm in our beliefs. The suffering of millions of Christians in the world is a concern for Christians everywhere. Everywhere. It could happen anywhere at any time. We enjoy the freedom that we have in this country currently. But that is no guarantee that we will have it in the future. And oftentimes we find ourselves compromising as much in the church as we do in our culture. How long before we just give it away if the remembrance doesn't produce anything in us? if the sacrifices of others doesn't even cause us to take pause. I mean, over the course of this past year, there's been something like 4,500 Christian missionaries killed in multiple countries across the world. And they do that so that we can do this. It's important. We must not do nothing. Let us remember in a way that produces action. When we are ready to celebrate our communion, let's make sure we take communion, understanding that the remembrance we have of Christ's sacrifice should produce something in us. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about I am the vine, you are the branches. And those branches that produce nothing are cut off and thrown away. We are here to bear fruit for Christ's sacrifice. Let's remember in a way that produces action. As we go to this time of invitation, as I mentioned earlier, if you have kids that you would like to participate in our communion, you can go now and get them. I'm going to pray for us, and then you can go and get them and come back, and then we'll have our time of communion. The way we do it here at the church, if you are a believer in Christ, whether you're a member of this church or not, you're welcome to participate in communion. But understand that if you are a non-believer, we would just prefer you let it pass by you. Nobody's going to point you out or anything else, but you are welcome to partake with us. But we do this in remembrance of God. And as we go to this time of invitation, I want to read these verses that center around the verses we'll be using for our communion, because it's a time for you to reevaluate where you're at with God. Make sure there's nothing between you and God. Scripture tells us not to come to the communion table with something between us and God. And today I would tell you that maybe one of the things we need to pray about is whether or not your love for other believers and their love for you is representative of what God died for. If it's not, now would be a great time to seek repentance for that. Now, this altar will be open. You can come forward and pray up here. You can pray where you're at. I understand not everybody wants to come forward, but sometimes it's important that you do come forward. Sometimes it's an act of obedience that says, look, I'm not going to stand back here and act like my entire life is together. So during this time of invitation, the altar's open for you, but it says these words. It says, whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let's pray and we'll go to our time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for those that have sacrificed for us to live in this country. But Lord, help us to remember the sacrifices that have been paid for us in a way that will produce something in us. That causes us to act. That causes us to move. Lord, to be better ambassadors for you. Lord, I pray for those of us that haven't been where we need to be with you, Lord. And I know that today I want to repent of that, Lord, and that you'll help restore me to where I need to be, and those here that feel that way to where they need to be. Lord, I pray for those that are here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, and right now think that the only person that's ever fought for them was an American soldier. But Lord, your battle was so much greater than that and frees us from so much more than that. I am grateful to live in a country that I have freedom of speech, but Lord, not nearly as glad as I am to live in a kingdom free from sin. Lord, bless this time of invitation. Help us, Lord, to be restored properly to you and to allow your remembrance to bring action in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand. we get ready to do our communion, like I said before, if you're a believer, they'll pass these to you. Please be sure and take them. If you are an unbeliever, just let it pass past you. And but I pray that during this time of reflection, that you did take a few minutes and make sure that you and God were where you need to be, and that we follow that in our life and the way that we lead it. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Y'all can be seated. Let's pray, and then we'll hand out the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your body, your Son, that died for us, Lord, that was broken for us, Lord, that submitted himself to such a vile treatment on our behalf. And Lord, I pray that what we witness in your sacrifice can be visible in the way we live our lives for you. Help us, Lord, to always remember you in a way that produces action. Embolden us, Lord. Equip us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for sending your Son to be the sacrifice for us. We do this, Lord, remembering that his body was broken for us. Bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may partake. Then in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that it took a blood sacrifice for sin. And Lord, you supplied that sacrifice in your Son. Help us, Lord, as we take this cup to remember what was paid for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we take this cup knowing the suffering that your Son endured on our behalf. Help us, Lord, to understand that in drinking it, we take on a participation in that suffering. But we also take on a participation in the glorification of his name and the sacrifice he paid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let our remembrance of Christ and our fallen heroes always provoke actions in our lives. Let's pray, and then I think they'll sing us out. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifices that have been paid on our behalf by the American soldier, but more than anything, your Son. Lord, the sacrifice that Christ paid for us, Lord, how that should play out in our lives, only you can bring the conviction necessary for that to occur. You've transformed so many people's lives, and Lord, I pray that today, in remembrance of you, we'll recall and reactivate the transformation in ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. One other quick announcement. If you're coming this evening, you can bring desserts or side salads if you want to. Otherwise, everything is provided this evening. Like I said, 6:30 this evening. Come back and share some time with us, all right? Thank you.
I also don't have anything for you. So you guys are good to go. Yeah. Just come back for free food. You guys have